I begin in the name of Allah, the most kind, the most merciful. It's due to that kindness and mercy that we have these opportunities where we gather in remembrance and glorification of Him, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. I gather you've been sitting for a little while, is that correct? Yeah? So, if it was my mosque, I'd make you guys get up and switch places, you know? But I'm going to respect the sanctity of the wall and the chairs, because I know no one will make that move from there. So if we can have everyone just recite a really loud salawat, please. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Let's recite, yeah, I mean, and there is some walls open, you know, if you want to move. But let's recite another salawat too, please. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. And those who do want to move, you can move. A little bit of stretching is good for you, to be quite honest, right? So please, wake up. I hope I don't put you to sleep, inshallah, and hope we can learn some things together. So in the previous discussion, the Imam alayhi salam talked about the world, and we finished the discussion of dunya that the Imam touches upon. But then he will touch upon it in the next paragraph as well. But where we left off, the Imam alayhi salam made it very clear that those whose lives are not governed by God consciousness, those who disregard the rulings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or what God wants from us, they will be devoured by this world. Yeah? And the more we chase this world, the more we will become devoured by it until it takes us to our death. And that's when we will now face the repercussions for our attachment to dunya. And that's where we left off yesterday. Now, after the Imam touches upon the subject of death, the very next subject the Imam discusses then is death and resurrection. And he says, "Hatta idha tasarramatil umur," until when matters come to a close, وَتَفَضَّتِ الدُّهُورِ, and the world dies, and then resurrection draws near. So the Imam alayhi salam now begins he paints a picture of the hereafter. And it's a very descriptive picture of the hereafter. And it's a little bit sobering, to be quite honest. And I feel that our state now, you know, our physical state, is most conducive for this type of reminder, because there is a sense of vulnerability that we have within us, right? We're hungry. When one is hungry, they are vulnerable. And so this vulnerability is, I think, an important time for us to really give our heart to what the Imam alayhi salam has to say here. So the Imam is going to now paint for us a picture of resurrection. He says that death will come, but he doesn't go into how death will come and the difficulties of death. That will come a little bit later. He will discuss that. What's also really interesting is that the Imam does not describe barzakh. As we know that from death until resurrection, there's a period in between that most people will have to undergo. And that's the period of barzakh, that intermediary realm where life basically from here continues. But the Imam alayhi salam doesn't go into that discussion either. And I feel that my understanding of why the Imam doesn't talk about barzakh is because he describes akhirah for those who did not live this life with God consciousness. So he describes a little bit of a painful akhirah. And so describing a painful barzakh would just be a duplicate. Because, you know, really, the life that we led here in barzakh, we're going to start how akhirah is going to be for us. Right? So whatever it is that akhirah will be like, we will begin to taste that in the grave or in barzakh. And the concept of barzakh is really, really fascinating. Right? But we don't have time to get to it. But I would strongly recommend a book that is available in the Tabligh store. It's called Towards Eternal Life. I've recommended this often. It's written by Sheikh Bahmanpour, and now you do have some copies. I saw that 2 days ago. Towards Eternal Life. It's also available on EPUB for $5. You can download it from the World Federation page. But he describes barzakh. There are lots of books written about eschatology, right? Death and life after death. A lot of theological books, a lot of Hawzawi books. But that's the most unique description of Akhirah that I've ever read. And it's something that I think we should be familiar with, as we will all have to go through it. So without going into the details of Barzakh, the Imam alayhi salam begins to talk about Akhirah. And he says about Akhirah that Allah would take them out. So until resurrection draws near, then Allah will take them out from the corners of their graves, the nests of birds, the dens of beasts, and the centers of death. Allah subhanahu, what the Imam alayhi salam is describing is that wherever an individual may be, yeah, wherever they thought that they could hide themselves from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will draw them out from wherever they are. Right? And the reality is that none of us know where we're going to die. None of us know which place we are going to be at. But whatever place it is that we were in, and whatever state it is that we were in, we will be brought back by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this final reckoning. It's an unavoidable ending, right? And this is where, like, you see the conundrum, really, or the stubbornness of mankind, isn't it? Is that we all know we're going to a very specific place. And that very specific place can be pleasant or it can be very difficult for us, right? And hence, you would think that that would force us, right? It would force us to shape our lives differently than how we do. But I think we haven't fully... that's where, you know, we touched upon it in the first few lectures. The fact that Akhirah and that fate of answering for my actions does not scare me enough to not do what I regularly do is an indication that my faith isn't complete yet, right? Or that my faith isn't close to being perfect yet. And that's okay if those realities come to us from time to time, because that's the way we measure. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not give us an opportunity to measure our faith, then we would all think that mashallah, Jannah is wajib for us, you know. But the fact that He has given us barometers, that hey, do you fear death? Or do you are you prepared for death? And my answer is no, not really. Then your faith isn't that high. Are you fearing the questioning that God's going to ask you? Well, not really. Then your faith isn't that high, right? Because if you know that that's your final, if that's the final examination, then we would all prepare for that final examination. So the Imam alayhi salam is describing this. And if we were to connect it back to the previous discussion on taqwa, where the Imam says that, you know, Allah is really everywhere. He's all-encompassing. He's in our thoughts, He's in our minds, He's in our intentions, He's in our actions, in our words. And the way Allah is all-encompassing there, Allah is fully going to be all-encompassing here. That means you can't run from Allah, you can't hide from Allah. And whatever it is that you have done, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring them back. And then and then the Imam alayhi salam says, they hasten towards His command. Yani who? The people who come out of the graves, right? They hasten towards His command and run towards the place fixed for their final return, group by group, yeah? Standing and in arrayed rows. They will be within Allah's sight and will hear the caller, okay? When we look at this description, it's really interesting. On one hand, we find that there is chaos on that day because you are coming out of a place that is unknown to you. That why, right? We recite in Surah Yasin that who brought me out of my grave? Yeah? That why? I was just chilling in there. What is all this, right? And it's not really that they were chilling, but they were they gotten used to what they were had, and now there's going to be something brand new again. And so the verses of the Quran describe a high level of chaos on this day, where fathers will split from their sons, mothers will split from their babies, brothers and sisters will split from each other, because everyone's looking after their own affairs. And so you've come to a brand new place, you're shocked into existence, and there's a great deal of trepidation, you can imagine, right? A fear, because you're coming to an unknown place. Unknown realities are always scary, right? Unknown realities are always scary. This is one of the greatest fears that human beings have. One of the reasons we are told why babies cry when they come out, it's a new existence, they're afraid of where they're at. One of the reasons why when we die, the first night in the qabr is very scary, because it is an unknown place for us. This is an unknown place for us now. And so on one hand, right, you have chaos and people rushing around, but then on the other hand, you have organization, where people will be in groups, people will be lined up. And I think that that's one of the most beautiful realities of Akhirah, right? That for us, it will be chaotic, but from God, this is fully prepared and planned by Him. Right? Everything is happening the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had laid out. And so this description of a gathering, right, fits into the titles of the Day of Judgment. Some of the titles of the Day of Judgment are Yawmul Hashr, the Day of Gathering, right? Or Yawmul Jam'a, the Day of Assembly, where there is you are assembled according to certain groups, certain criteria, certain qualities that human beings have. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes this in numerous verses of the Quran. So for example, Surah number 64, verse number 9, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, Yawma yajma'ukum li yawmil jam'a. He says, the day in which Allah will gather you for the day of jam, the day of gathering. He will bring everybody out for this day. ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمُ الْتَغَابُن. That's the day of loss and gain. That's what تَغَابُن means, right? People will gain on that day, people will lose on that day. But that's what Allah calls the day of judgment, or one of the names for the day of judgment is يَوْمُ الْجَمْعَ. Another name for it, as we said, is يَوْمُ الْحَشَر, right? وَيَوْمَ تُسَيِّرُ الْجِبَالِ وَتَرَى الْأَرْضَ بَارِزَةً وَحَشَرْنَاهُمْ فَلَمْ تُغَادِرْ مِنْهُمْ أَحَدًا. Surah 18, verse 47, Allah says, and on the day which we will cause the mountains to pass away, and you will see the earth a leveled plain, and we will gather them, Allah says, and leave them, and leave not any one of them behind. So this gathering that is going to happen on this day is going to be one that is going to come about from the beginning of creation till the end of creation. And they're all going to be on one plane. I want us to be able to kind of picture this, all right? We are told that the congestion on the day of Qiyamah will be overbearing, right? Imagine, you know, when if you've been for Hajj, right, and you're all together on the plains of Arafah, and you're all together moving to Muzdalifah, and then when you're stoning Shaitan, or even around the Tawaf, and we're talking there like 2 million people in one place, right? Or when you go for Arba'een, maybe what, 15 million they say. In the earth right now, we have 7 billion people. And Allah says everyone will be brought forward, right? If you Google how many people have existed from the beginning of time, the number they give right now is like 108 billion people, okay? That have lived from the beginning of time till now. And that number is going to increase to 113 billion in 20 years. Now I want you to imagine that 108 billion people will all be flocking out of their destinations or out of their resting places, and they will all be gathering in one place. So there is going to be, first of all, a tremendous crush of people, okay? And what adds to the level of anxiety on that particular day is the uncertainty about what's about to happen, right? And so not only are you bumping into people, not only are you congested with people, but everyone's beginning to get frustrated at the same time, right? Everyone has a high level of anxiety on that day. And when you have such people, and when you have that masses of people, we are told heat begins to rise on that day. Right? The descriptions of Qiyamah are amazing. It takes a really hard heart not to be affected by the descriptions of Qiyamah. The problem is even our soft hearts that are affected by it, that affect only lasts until we'll go have iftar, and then we will be done reminding ourselves of that, unfortunately, right? But we have to find a way to keep ourselves connected to it. And so what is happening here is that there's a mass crush of people. There's a trepidation about what's going to happen, and so everyone is anxious. And then the heat begins to rise, and that increases the thirst and agitation of people. And so everyone on this day is agitated, and no one cares about anyone else on this day, right? As Allah has promised in the Quran, it's a day when you will look after yourself only. And so this is the description that we have. Amirul Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, ma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. I know we're talking about death, but we can recite a better salawat. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Imam says in sermon number 102, he says something very beautiful about that day. He says, فَأَحْسَنُهُمْ حَالًا مَنْ وَجَدَ لِقَدَمَيْهِ مَوْضِعًا وَلِنَفْسِهِ مُتَّسِعًا. Subhanallah. He says that the most fortunate one on that day, on the day of Jum'ah, are those who find a place to put their feet on the ground, and even the ability to draw a breath on that day. It's going to be that congested. It's going to be that hard, right? And it's going to be that beautiful. So even though on one hand, right, we're looking at chaos, we're looking at these trepidations, but from the perspective, as I said, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has made these arrangements. And everything is going according to plan. And if you look at, and one of the things that this passage mentions, siraan ila amrihi, that they hasten towards His command. And this command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happens from the form of angels. That as soon as the people come out of the grave, it's not like they're wandering aimlessly. There is someone there who has been assigned to take these people and put them in the groups that they need to be in, right? And these people are called the callers or the da'i. Allah says in the Holy Quran, Surah number 20, verse number 108, He says, يَوْمَئِذٍ يَتَّبِعُونَ الدَّاعِيَ لَا عِوَجَ لَهُ. On that day, they will follow the caller. Yeah, that means when the people come out of their grave, immediately this da'i or this caller will call to them and say, you need to go here. And it's not like in this world, you know, where we'll be like, I don't want to listen to you. No, I'm going there, right? Here they tell you, the sheikh tells you guys move forward and you're like, nah, I'm not moving, right? It's not like that. It's not like that. Over there, when that angel says, Baba, you're going here, it's like that angel has the ability to tap into your and crush your spirit and take you wherever you need to go, because that's what God has given that angel, that ability. And to that extent where Allah says, and they will follow the summoner. When the summoner calls, they will follow the summoner in whom there is no deviousness. La iwajala. That means there is no false pretense. He will tell you exactly where to go. And these are tasks that the angels have been given. There are specific angels who will be there. So what we see is that, you know, everyone then will be rushed towards their groups. And that is where they will be kept with people, we are told, who will have similar qualities as they have. So it's not an individual journey here. So, and what does that mean? So we're not going to be placed in groups based on the time that we lived, nor the nationality that we have, or the culture that we have. Rather, we're going to be put into groups with people who match our inner qualities. So for example, if innately I'm stingy, Allah is going to put me with stingy people. Right? If I'm greedy, I'm going to be put with greedy people. If I'm generous, I'm going to be put with generous people. And then these groups then will traverse their own path of Akhirah. And we are told in traditions that there are 50 stops of Akhirah, right? 50, and each stop, the Quran says, will be 1,000 years long, right? From what we know as 1,000 years, where full accounting takes place. But again, depending on each group's quality, this is where the length of time will depend for each group and what they will have to experience. And so the Imam alayhi salam, you know, he describes again all of these and the amount of time that, sorry, the Imam alayhi salam then describes the following. He says, they will have the dress of helplessness and the covering of submission and indignity. At this time, energy or strength would disappear and their desires would be cut. Hearts would sink quietly, voices would be curbed down, sweat would choke the throat, fear would increase, and ears would resound with the thundering voice of the announcer calling them towards the final judgment. Subhanallah. Yeah? Again, like, this is not exaggeration, right? This is how it's going to be for those especially who did not take this life that seriously, right? And I got to look at myself in the mirror to see how seriously am I taking what God wants me to take, right? And if I know, and we're best knowledgeable about what we're in and what state we're in, if I like to play around a little bit, if I like to do this a little bit, just a little bit, right? But I'm going to have to pay for whatever I do, right? And so the Imam says, and they will award, they're being called towards their final judgment, an award of recompense, striking of punishment, and paying of reward. What this describes for us, right? Now again, this is to tie it in from the very beginning of our discussion. These are people who did not live that God-conscious life, the way that we've been told to live a God-conscious life, right? And again, we described what that is. Parameters. Know what your boundaries are and stick to your lane, basically, right? And so when these people don't, people who don't live that life, they will be filled with a state of helplessness and despair on this day, as the Imam describes, right? And that chaos now begins to settle down. Why does it settle down? Because it's becoming more and more clear to them what their final destination is now, right? They can sense it. And you know, again, like if we study about the concept of eschatology, and I wanted to do that this year. I wanted to do the whole 15 days of eschatology, but some people say I might scare people too much, you know? But maybe next year. I think it's important to know it. Only if it's going to have an effect, right? And if it's not, then I might as well just do it to myself. From the time we die till we go to the grave, till we go to barzakh, till we get resurrected, till we meet Allah finally, there's a concept or a step called liqa'ullah, to meet Allah, and then finally into heaven or hell. From the first time, I know where my final destination is. So if I'm going to heaven, from the time that I die, I would know that I'm going to heaven. And that journey of mine, depending on how I have lived my life, would be pleasant, or if I have baggage to let go of, sins that I need to be forgiven for, then that process may be difficult. But the confidence I get to continue in this journey is the knowledge that inshallah eventually I will end up in heaven. You understand? Now that doesn't mean that it's going to be pleasant, right? So don't think like, let me sin and then inshallah, at least I know. No, we don't know. I mean, we can't even handle a mosquito bite in this world. Imagine what happens in Akhirah, right? And what happens with the punishments of that. But we know. Like the concept of barzakh, and I don't want to prolong this, but the concept of barzakh, we are told that there are three groups of people in barzakh. There are those who were very good in this life. And because they were very good in this life, as soon as they die, they start enjoying the Jannah of Barzakh immediately. They are in Jannah. And then you have on the other side those who are just evil. And they immediately will start facing the hell of Barzakh. And then when resurrection happens, they're going to the heaven of Akhirah and the hell of Akhirah, which is far worse, as Allah describes in the Quran, right? When He describes the story of Fir'aun, He says he's being punished day and night, and then in Akhirah he'll be punished even more, right? So He's describing the hell of Barzakh. But then the third group, which will make up the majority of the people, are people like me, who are generally good, but have sins with them. And if I don't remedy those sins now, I'll have to pay for those sins in Barzakh. And if those sins were grave enough to where even Barzakh can't cleanse it, I will have to pay for those sins in Akhirah. And so it's important that I remedy those sins now so that I don't have to suffer in Akhirah. And the opposite happens too. So if in the middle, let's say you have someone who is not a good person, but they did some good things in their lives. So maybe their faith was incorrect. I don't want to judge. But let's just say, whatever it is, they have some good in them, but their final destination is hell. They will enjoy some aspects of Barzakh. So it's possible for you to be a bad person and still be rewarded, because God's just like that, right? So God will reward you for that. But in the whole time, in the book, I think there's a hadith by our 6th Imam, if I'm not mistaken, or 5th Imam, that describes that in Barzakh there will be a window that will be opened. And that window will either be a window to heaven or a window to hell. And that's your final destination. So if it's a window to heaven, the air of Jannah will blow through you. And even though you may have some sins to pay for, you kind of look at that and say, I can handle it. I wish I hadn't done these things, but I can handle it. While on the other hand, if you know you're going to hell, you know you're going to hell. And it's a slow, torturous journey towards hell. Every day you know that that's your final destination. And here, you know, like, you may try to fight it, but now you've been gathered with people who are like you, and the reality check and the reality just sinks in completely, and you're like, oh man, this is where I'm going. There's nothing I can do about it. There's nothing I can do about it. And the Imam, alayhi salam, you know, he describes the heart sinking, the voice is getting muted, and the fear increasing. But I want to just end with this. He mentions the sweat would choke the throat. Yeah, it's a very beautiful statement. So our ulama say that this can be understood in two ways. The first way is that it's an analogy where it is choking up with fear. You know, when you choke up with fear, sometimes you can't even talk because your voice is stuck, right? It's gone. And so that's kind of what happens, where you will just be stuck and you can't say anything because you were just choked with fear. But then there are traditions that tell us that this is actual fact. You will literally be drowning in sweat on that day, right? And one of the understandings is that when we are on the journey to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, part of the trials and tribulations that one endures is a cleansing process for them. Okay, so everything that we go through that may seem hard is not only arbitrarily, but it also serves as a cleansing process for us, so that when we finally get to God, we are purified enough. And so what Allah instills within us is a spiritual fever, right? A spiritual fever, and this spiritual fever makes me sweat out the evil that I have done, and that sweat and the sweating out comes out from every pore. Now, so I sweat like I've never sweated before. And it's not just me who's sweating. It's 108 billion people who are sweating, right? And and there's a hadith I want to end with from our 6th Imam, As-Sadiq alayhi salam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. He says, إِذَا كَانَ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ حَشَرَ اللَّهُ الْخَلَائِكَ فِي سَعِيدٍ وَاحِدٍ. He says, on the Day of Judgment, when the Day of Judgment comes, Allah will gather all of His creation on one plane. فَيَقِفُونَ حَتَّى يُلْجِمَهُمُ الْأَرَقِ. And He will make them stand there until they all begin to profusely sweat. Yeah. فَيَقُولُ لَيْتَ اللَّهُ يَحْكُمَ بَيْنَنَا. He says, they would say to each other, I wish Allah would just judge us already. Yeah, I wish He would judge us already. وَلَوْ إِلَى النَّارِ. Even if He were to send me to hell, let Him judge us, for I can't handle this sweating anymore. Yeah, subhanAllah. Right? These are not things that we are told to take for granted, my brothers and sisters. They are not. We have one life here in this world that will make our destiny for us. Let's not play with it. Let's not take it for granted. It's time we shape up. It's time we do whatever we can so that not only do we have a tremendous akhirah, inshallah, but that shaping up will bring our imam to us even quicker, inshallah. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina.